Lord, for enduring the scourging that I deserve. Thank you, Lord, for taking the nails that should have been driven into my hands and feet. Thank you, Lord, for paying the complete price for my sins. Thank you, Lord, for dying that day that I might live forever and ever with you. How grateful I am for the rest of my life.
The Bible provides simple facts about the final hours of Jesus' life, but historians couldn't suppress the gruesome details of Roman crucifixion. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Matthew chapter 27 about the scourging, mockery, and unimaginable suffering that our Savior endured. Drawing from historical records, Chuck meticulously describes the agonizing moments when Jesus bore the sins of humanity. By doing so, we stand in reverence and awe as we worship the one who purchased our forgiveness. Chuck titled today's sobering message, "Those Final Dreadful Hours."
The late biblical and Hebrew scholar under whom I had the privilege of studying, Merrill F. Unger, writes in his Bible dictionary that there are instances on record of persons surviving for 9 days before death came while hanging on a cross. How simple the words appear in the text. They nailed him, and a little later, as he hung there, throwing dice for his clothing. Maybe they had three others that day that would be crucified. He's just one in a group. They sat around. Someone put a sign over his head because those who were crucified, there was a public display of the crime. In his case, he was crucified in the eyes of the Romans for declaring to be the king of the Jews, a threat on the emperor. They sat around, people shouting abuse, leading priests and teachers mocking him. Even the two revolutionaries on either side mocking him, though one later did say, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Before I go further, may I describe this scene? Bear with me. Some historians describe a saddle-like piece of wood on the upright pole where the victim could rest the base of his pelvis and find relief. His arms were now in a V position, and Jesus became conscious of two unendurable circumstances. The first was the pain in his wrists became beyond bearing. The muscle cramps knotted his forearms and upper arms and the pads on his shoulders. The second was that his pectoral muscles at his sides of his chest were momentarily paralyzed. This induced in him an involuntary panic, for he found that while he could draw air into his lungs, he was powerless to exhale. To be able to keep breathing, writes Bishop, the victim on the cross had to stay in constant motion. So he literally dragged himself up and down, constantly so as to make breathing possible. Eventually, he could no longer lift himself sufficiently to continue breathing. I interrupt for a moment to quote Dr. Truman Davis in his work, The Passion of Christ, from a medical point of view. As the arms fatigue, great waves of cramps sweep over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward. Hanging by his arms, the pectoral muscles are paralyzed, and the intercostal muscles are unable to act. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but cannot be exhaled. Jesus fights to raise himself in order to get even one short breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he's able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in life-giving oxygen. All this represents hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Some suggest that victims of crucifixion died of suffocation. Others teach that they died from hunger. Still others maintain they died from sheer exhaustion as the body eventually wore out from the unendurable pain and the unnatural suspension of the organs and muscles. And so they crucified him. People who pass by, according to verse 39, are shouting their mockery, and they are shaking their heads as they yell at him, misquoting his words from earlier times. Even the leading priests and teachers of religious law and elders join in the scene. Dare I add that his own mother is watching it all, along with a few of his closest friends, unable to do a thing, hearing these words that taunt the one they love as he is going through his darkest hours. Let me add this. As horrific as the pain, that isn't the worst part. You'll read the worst part at verse 45 down through 46. Look in your Bible. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. We would call it an eclipse, but it isn't a natural eclipse. It is a supernatural shroud of darkness over the land. At about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus literally screams with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" Translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?" For the first time in all of existence, God the Father turns his back on God the Son. Why? Because the Lamb of God is bearing the sins of the world. A holy God cannot in any way relate to such a conglomeration of evil being born by the Son. Thus, the Father's abandonment in that brief period of time as Jesus bore your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. If you were like me, you were reared in a church. You've heard of the cross, the crucifixion. You've heard of the death of the Savior all your life. But I doubt that you have ever heard sins listed as I'm going to list them. In all my years of ministry and preaching, I've never done this before. But I sat down alone in my study, and so that I might have some sense of order to keep myself on target, I listed as many as I could think of alphabetically. You'll hear yours, and I heard mine as I read the list aloud several times, always thinking I could add more and finally deciding it's inexhaustible. These are the things he bore on our behalf. Listen to your sins as I listen to mine. They're in the list. He died for our sins of abuse, adultery, argumentative spirit, arrogance, assault, backbiting, bitterness, blasphemy, boasting, bribery, complaining, coveting, contention, coarse joking, deceit, defrauding, denying, and despising the poor, dishonoring the aging, disrespecting parents, envy, evil motives, fornication, fraud, falsifying tax reports, giving grudgingly, and even not giving at all, the height of selfishness, gluttony, gossip, greed, hating others, holding grudges, harsh words, hypocrisy, idolatry, spiritual indifference, immodesty, jealousy, a loose tongue, loss of temper, lust, lying, malice, manipulation, mistreatment of children and others who are defenseless and helpless, murderous thoughts, murderous acts, prayerlessness, prejudice, partiality, pride, racism, rage, rape, rebelling against authority, refusing to forgive, resisting the Holy Spirit, returning insult for insult, selfishness, being sexually inappropriate, slanderous, slothful, stealing, ingratitude, secretly viewing pornography, violence, loving the world system, not loving your neighbor as yourself, not loving your spouse as you should, being unequally yoked with partners in business, and I finally tired of the list. And I've hardly begun. The Lamb of God bore those sins and thousands of others in his own body on the tree, that he might free us from that which would otherwise conquer us and lead us to a perishing grave. What an unattractive, unpleasant, undesirable list of wrongs. Yet he came and he died for each one and thousands of others. Those in your life and those in mine. A message like this is not easy to declare. It isn't easy to hear. I understand. The subject isn't attractive. It's altogether unattractive. The historical setting and the biblical scene are gruesome just to imagine, to say nothing of reading. The sins our Savior bore on our behalf are distasteful, shameful. The price that he paid was awful, enduring it to the point of his final releasing his spirit, having borne the sins of the world. But there's good news. There's good news. Had it not been for what he did for us on that cross, we would all perish in our sins. We would die doomed. Our world would be a dark world without hope. And is there any worse way to live than without hope? And when we face our final day, our last breath, what we would then experience, I cannot put into words. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God that he so loved us. He gave his one and only son to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. It took a spotless lamb, and he was that. Willing to bear the sins of the whole world, and that he did. Therefore, all our sins are fully and completely forgiven. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, and he washed it, what? White as snow. Crimson stain, white as snow, because of what he did on the cross on our behalf. There is only one appropriate response to what he has done for us: gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for enduring the scourging that I deserve. Thank you, Lord, for taking the nails that should have been driven into my hands and feet. Thank you, Lord, for paying the complete price for my sins. Thank you, Lord, for dying that day that I might live forever and ever with you. How grateful I am for the rest of my life. We have in rather recent months laid to rest some people from our congregation, loved ones we knew and appreciated and enjoyed during the years of our friendship. And God chose for one reason or another to take them to himself through death. So we lost them on this earth, though they gained him. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. What a great message we were able to proclaim as we stood before loving families and friends who admittedly were grieving the loss on this earth but were living in the hope of forgiveness. Why? Because he took our sins on our behalf and he forgave us so that we could die at peace, with hope, facing an eternal home with him forever. How great is that? Filled with hope, filled now with the joy and anticipation of resurrection. I am so ready for the passage on resurrection, I could scream. I have not come to the end of myself in these dark scenes that have led up to it and finally this one. But it's part of the message. And I can't leave it until I speak to you who are here without Jesus Christ. Think of where you are. You are still under the load of that list. How do you think you could possibly step into God's perfect snow white heaven, where all is pure and clean and fresh and lovely and forgiven, if you've never come to Jesus, who took your place on his cross? What on earth will it take to convince you to turn to Jesus Christ? You're surrounded by those who have. You listen to one Sunday after Sunday, whose life has been changed by the grace of God. And I plead with you to be numbered among us, to be a part of the forever family of God. Let's make that happen right now. Bow your heads. Please close your eyes. Sit very quietly. Please pray for those sitting around you whom you do not know, some of whom do not know Christ. Right now, I speak to you who are without Christ. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son. He so loved you. Your sin separates you from him. He's holy, you're not. He's perfect, you're not. He's clean, you're not. Right down to your thoughts, God saw that even the thoughts of men and women were wicked, even in the earliest days of Genesis. And your thoughts are wicked. You are separated from God by birth, by choice, by your everyday life. But today that can change. He's built a magnificent bridge across the chasm between your sinfulness and his righteousness. And that bridge is the cross of Jesus Christ. If you will trust in Christ, simply trust in Christ, taking him alone as your Savior, you walk across that bridge and you will know instant forgiveness and eternal kind of life. Do that now. If we can possibly help you in the journey, please contact us. Please let us know how we can help you. And if you make the decision, we wish to help you in the journey from earth to heaven as you begin to walk the Christian way of life, which is altogether different from the life you've known. He who has the Son has the life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Believe on the Lord Jesus right now. You will be saved and saved forever. In the silence of this moment, our Father, I pray that you will do a work in every heart that is unprepared, not ready to die, therefore not really ready to live. I pray that you will break through their wills, reach deeply into their minds so that they see and understand clearly that there is no hope apart from Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Convince them of that. Bring them to faith, I pray. And then we will forever rejoice over the rescue that you have performed. Now, Father, we thank you for this significance of this message. May we never again envision the cross without these images coming to mind, along with a deep sense of gratitude for all your Son has done for us. We pray this in his matchless name and for his sake alone. As everyone said, amen.
Over the last three programs, Chuck Swindoll has guided us through the grueling details of a Roman crucifixion. This suffering on our behalf only deepens our love for the Savior. You're listening to a special edition of Insight for Living, in which we're preparing for the Easter celebration just around the corner. In that spirit, we're pleased to offer you a brand new booklet by Chuck Swindoll. It's called Worthy is the Lamb. In this exclusive resource, Chuck describes his personal affection for the Lamb of God and how Christ has woven his redemptive story into his life. By reading Worthy is the Lamb, you'll see how God's redemptive story has become yours as well. You can request a copy of Chuck's brand new booklet by calling us at 800-772-8888 or go directly to our website at insight.org/donate. A copy of Chuck's booklet, Worthy is the Lamb, is yours when you specifically request it and when you include a contribution to support the ministry of Insight for Living. To send your request and donation in the mail, you can write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Insight for Living is sustained not by the resources we offer, but instead, Chuck's Bible teaching is beamed all around the world through the kindness of people just like you. Let me share an encouraging comment from a young mother who said this: "I sometimes think that my academic background makes me the most unlikely born-again Christian, with a philosophy undergraduate degree followed by a law degree. But I heard God's call, and Chuck has opened my eyes and resonated with me on so many levels. I thank God for you and the whole team." You know, your support makes these moments possible. To give a donation today, call us at 800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll presents another powerful message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Those Final Dreadful Hours, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2021, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2021 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.